Amos chapter 5. Subject this morning is seeking the Lord, or an encouragement to seek the Lord. I won't read all these verses. We're gonna cover most of this chapter, but we'll cover it as we go through it. I'll just give you some of the high points here. Amos chapter 5, verse 4. It says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live." Look down in verse 6. "Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel." Look down in verse 8. "Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion." Some of y'all may not have known Orion was in the Bible. That's it right there. "And turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name." Look over in verse 14 now. "Seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken." All right, those are the high points. That's the theme of these verses. And we'll pray and hopefully encourage you to a couple things this morning. When God says, seek the Lord, you can understand what he means when he says, seek the Lord. And hopefully identify in your life, and I can identify in my life, areas where we're not seeking the Lord. Or, if you're not saved, hopefully today be the day of your salvation. You'd understand your need for Jesus Christ and understand the consequences of, I know Mike was talking about it a while ago, investing in this world and having things in this world. You can have everything in this world. The problem is this world is temporary. You can get whatever you want in this world. You can build it up. The ultimate problem is it's only temporary. And so you question the investment of something that has an expiration date on it. So let's pray. We'll talk about seeking the Lord this morning. Father, I thank you for your words. I pray you'd help us get what we need this morning. Lord, help me to say what needs to be said. There's a lot in this book of Amos, and a lot of rebuke, instruction, just things that we can learn from and need to learn from. Lord, I pray that you'd help us get what we need and feed your flock. You would encourage, you would instruct, you'd convict. Lord, help us specifically understand what you mean when you said, seek the Lord, when you're talking to Israel. And Lord, that transitions into the New Testament where you're talking about seeking you and things like that. Lord, I pray you'd help us with these things. If anybody here is not saved, Lord, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Amos is preaching to Israel. Your Old Testament, Israel, all directed to Israel, things like that. The people that he's talking to have an assumption that God is on their side. And so it's a little bit of a nuisance for someone to come to a group of people who already believe God is on their side and say, you need to start seeking the Lord. I mean, you can imagine, you know, what do you mean I need to start seeking the Lord? We're religious. What are you talking about, me seek the Lord? God's on this side. He's on our side. And so we all, just to make an application, we all have the assumption that God is on our side, and if you don't believe in God, you believe that good is on your side. We all have that assumption. It doesn't matter who we are. That's how we think. We justify what we do. We think what we do is right. all that, that's why it's so important, and I think I've said it multiple times lately, but that's why it's so important to get God's definition. And when God says, for instance, seek me, to understand what he means. Because you and I read that and we think, well, that's what I'm doing. I seek the Lord. You know, I go about my business and I'm looking for the Lord and stuff and all that. And then the benefit of having the Bible is God will define what he means when he says this. And he won't leave it up to your imagination or my imagination to figure out what he means. For instance, when he says, given this example a few times, when he says, husbands love your wives, he doesn't leave that to your imagination to how to do that. He says, even as Christ also loved the church. So he shows you, this is what I mean. Because when we're left up to our own imaginations, we all believe we're in the right. We got God on our side or good on our side or whatever. And it's a shock to find out that maybe God's not on your side, particularly with Israel. Is these folks that Amos preaches to are religious people. They are going to church, whatever, I mean, we call church, they're going to the temple. They even have God's name on their stuff. You know, they are the chosen people. They have the scriptures. They have the promises of God. And to think that someone would have the arrogance to show up and tell them to seek God is a little bit, I mean, how proud can this Amos be to show up and tell us to seek God? What does he think we're doing here? This guy's a nuisance. So four times here, I showed you those four verses where he says, seek me, seek God, seek me, seek creator, things like that. And the instruction is to seek God. here's a few thoughts here. In the New Testament, before we go through these verses, I'll try to go through them quickly here, but in the New Testament, Jesus Christ met with some Pharisees one time. And they accused him, and they berated him, and all that stuff. And one of the things he said to them was, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which speak of me. Meaning, you guys are going around, you're religious, you're promoting your religion, you're promoting the scriptures, you're telling all these other nations and people, you're the gatekeepers of God's word. Yet, in his word, those scriptures that you're supposed to be the gatekeepers for or whatever, those scriptures are the ones that speak of me. He says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You have eternal life in them. All right, so the point was, he mentions to the Pharisees, a religious group of people, you need to start looking. Whatever you think you're doing right now, you're not looking for God. Whatever game you're playing with this religion, with these sacrifices, with this church stuff, whatever you think you're doing, you're not doing. You need to search the scriptures and stop pretending that because I have the scriptures, I'm something. You know, this can be the problem with, you know, with us. You know, we believe we have the scriptures. And we believe that's what sets us apart. What having the Jews had the Bible, but having the Bible doesn't set you apart from anyone. It's doing the Bible that sets people apart. And so here's Amos, and now I'll try to get through these. He's going to define what searching for God looks like. Here's what it is. Here's what it's not. And if you're doing what it's not, then what you're not doing is searching for God. Notice what he says. First, verse 4. He says, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. I wish we could just stay there and not do all the negative stuff. You know, seek me and live. There you go. Everybody seek God. Okay, let's go home. then you wouldn't know what that means. You would just think it means, you know, hope and change or whatever, whatever that means. I mean, you just define it how you want to. So now he's going to define it. But seek not, verse 5, but seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. All right, so the first thing he says is this. If you keep going to Bethel, then what you're not doing is looking for me. If you keep going to the same things you're going to for religious training, for to play religion, to put on a performance with your righteousness. Remember, Bethel is the place where the cows were set up. Remember Jeroboam, the second Jeroboam, he set up the cows, one in Bethel, one in Dan, and Bethel became the hub of activity. It was a religious hub. It was a commercial hub. All those things kind of go together. There's profit in all that stuff. What the people are fed of their idols. That's the way it works. People get fed of their idols. And so they would go to Bethel. They would have their religious ceremonies, their sacrifices. And Bethel was the replacement for Jerusalem. It was, instead of going to Jerusalem, you just go to Bethel and go to the cow, and you worship where the cow is. And so God says to a nation who believes they're on God's side, or better yet, God is on their side, who believes they are conducting business as God would have them conduct business, he says, seek me and live. And if you keep going to Bethel, then you're not looking for me. If you continue to go to the idol, you can't add my name to that because my name's not there anymore. I'm not at the cow. You can't go to the cow and pray a prayer to the cow and say it's to me because I'm not the cow. I'm not there. If you want to seek me, the instruction is, if you want to seek me, then you're going to have to stop going to Bethel. It's like hide and seek, you know. I mean, if you're hiding in a tree and the people, whoever's seeking, keeps going to the porch, they're never going to find you because you're not there. If you keep going to Bethel, God says, I'm not there. If you want to seek me, you're going to have to stop going to the cows and worshiping at the cows and bowing down to the cows, and you're going to have to come to where I am. I'm not there. I'm not in Bethel. So the first thing is, it's this. The seeking for God is defined as an exclusive search. Meaning, if you're going to look for God, Amos talking to a people who believe they have God on their side, and apparently they don't. If you're going to look for God, that means you're going to have to stop looking in the same places God's not. Does that, I mean, that make sense? If God's not there, you can't keep going back there to find God. He's not there. You can't keep going back there. It's an exclusive search. So if you keep going back to the same place, you're not looking for God and you're not going to find God. All right, the second thing. Well, before I move on, it's exclusive in that sense. You know, if you keep going to Bethel, you're not going to find God. Here's the illustration God uses in Hosea. All right, if you imagine a young lady and a young fella are engaged to be married, the date is set, they've got wedding arrangements made, and getting ready, you know, spent lots of money, prepared, all this kind of stuff. And then the groom-to-be finds out that the bride-to-be is also going to be married to some other people. Wait a minute. How does this work? You're going to be married to more people, and the bride kind of looks at the groom like, what's the big deal? I mean, I'm going to marry you. I'm going to marry this one. 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 This one's going to take care of me. This one's going to take care of me. This one's going to take this one. This one. And one of the grooms says, no, I'm not taking care of you. That was the relationship God had with Israel. He had a marriage planned, and she kept going out and finding other boyfriends and things like that. But then she kept claiming that she was married to God. And God's like, no, you're not. This is not a marriage. That's not what this looks like. This is you going out and doing your own thing and then claiming I'm your husband and I'm not your husband. You're someone else's wife. You're someone else's girlfriend. I'm not your husband. That was the relationship God had with Israel. So he says, if you keep going to the house of these other gods, you're not coming to me. It's an exclusive search. Here's in the New Testament. In the New Testament. Look at this verse. Just look at this one. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Show you something in this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 10, 18. Paul makes a little illustration here. 1 Corinthians 10, 18. It says, behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Okay, I'm going to stop there. So the priests would be partakers of the altar that they administered. In the temple, the people would bring their tithes, they would bring their food, they would bring their offerings, and the priests would, for their payment, because they had no inheritance, would eat what the people brought. So they were fed of the altar. Now Paul's going to apply that to Gentile idolatry, because Gentiles are also fed of their own idolatry. That's how Gentiles feed themselves. Verse 19. What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. All right, now, you and I would never call sacrifices that we make sacrifices to devils. We would never say that. But here Paul is explaining what the Gentiles do is they are fed of the altar they participate in. And the thing that they worship at, that's where they get fed. And he says that the food isn't anything, the idol isn't anything. But the problem is the people keep going over there and they can't go over there and be fed of this thing while serving God at the same time. Those two things are exclusive. Now watch how he says it. Verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Now you and I would never call whatever it is we do apart from the Lord anything to do with devils. But God might. He might have a little insight on something that we don't have insight on. Watch what he says. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You say, well, I'm not drinking the cup of the Lord, and I'm not really participating with devils. I'm kind of in the middle. Okay. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. All right, if you're going to eat at this table, then you're not going to be eating at the Lord's table. Make sense? It's exclusive. If you're going to be eating here, then you're not going to be eating here. The priest doesn't go to multiple temples to eat a meal. He's ministered to by the temple he administrates. And the food comes in on the altar that he administrates. And the Gentiles do the same thing. They're fed of their own idols. Of the idol that they administrate, that's how they're fed. Verse 22. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. All right. The point of all that was to say this. When God explains to Israel, a people who believe they are in God's will, the people who believe that they are in God's promises, and really they have God's promises, they have God's words, they have the blessings of God, and because of all of that, they believe God is on their side personally, yet, Amos is telling this group of people who believe all these things, you need to seek God. Whatever you think is going on between you and God is not going on between you and God. Whatever imagination you have about God, this is not, the things are not going on, because if you continue to go to Bethel and look for me behind the cows, I'm not behind the cows. This whole God is everywhere and all roads lead to God, all that kind of stuff, not true. If you continue to go this route, you're not going to find me. And what you need to do is turn and look for me and live. Because the road you're on is headed to an expiration date with catastrophe and destruction. It's an exclusive search. And then he says this, next one. Back to Amos. Amos chapter 5, verse 6. You know, he mentions double-minded in James, where a person is double-minded and unstable in all their ways. You're trying to go multiple different directions, or just at minimum two different directions. And the reality is you're not going in any direction, just unstable. Just fall into this mess and fall into this mess and fall into this and get thrown around by this and get thrown around by that and thrown around by this. And he says this, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. That's the reality of the situation. You're not submitted. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I want to serve God, but I also want to I want to keep going to Bethel. So, I mean, I want God to be on my side, and I'm going to believe that he's on my side while I keep going to Bethel. Well, that's why you got God's revelation saying, no, I'm not at Bethel. If you keep going there, you'll never find me. Second thing, Amos chapter 5, verse 6. Seek the Lord and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. So the second thing about this search, not only is it an exclusive search, it's a righteous search. It says, ye who turn judgment to wormwood, you leave off righteousness in the earth. You know, so he's talking to people who probably are in power, who have the ability to pervert judgment, who have the ability to try a case and say guilty, not guilty. And you and I would probably, all of us, be very frustrated to watch politicians get away with things that you and I would never get away with. And you watch people who have power because they have money, get away with things, they have influence, they have connections, and they get away with things that you and I couldn't get away with. And so we watch that and say, you know, that's unrighteous, they're perverting judgment, they leave off righteousness and all that stuff. and as much as we would want to jail a crooked politician, that politician is getting what they want out of life. You understand? They're getting what they want. People who you think ought to be in jail, maybe, their side of the story is they're just getting what they want. They're getting the money they want. They're funding their lifestyle that they want. They're getting what they want. Now, translate that to our lives. All right? He says, ye who leave off righteousness in the earth. We hate it when righteousness is left off at this level up here. It's tough to watch when righteousness is ignored at the highest level. Yet, in our own lives, we will leave off righteousness to get what we want out of life. We just don't have as much influence, maybe. But we'll leave off righteousness in order to get what I want out of life. Yet I hate it when I see it way up here at the top. But I'm willing to do it if I get my way out of it. I'll leave off righteousness. So God's talking to some folks. He says, listen, if you're going to seek me, this is the definition of seeking me. Number one, stop going to Bethel. You're not going to find me there. I'm not there. Number two is, you need to seek righteousness. If you're not looking for righteousness, if all you're doing is looking to get out of life stuff for me, you know who you're not looking for? God. Now, you may tack God onto whatever you're doing. Yeah, God's blessed me, God's taking care of me, and God's doing this, and God's doing that. And God may not be doing any of those things. It may just be a product of covetousness. I would say some people have money because they wanted money. And that's what they chased after. And that's what they sought after, and they got it. Going back to the point, you can have everything in this world. The problem is this world does not last. This world will expire. This world will come to an end. And if you have no investment in things that last, whatever you invested in will be gone. If you seek after right, God said, look, if you're going to look for me, you're going to have to stop looking for you and start looking for righteousness. Look for righteousness. He says, ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. God says, if you're going to leave off righteousness in the earth, you're not looking for me. You're looking out for your own good. So don't claim to be looking for me, because you're not looking for me. You're just looking for you. And so that the consequences of looking for you is you leave off righteousness in the earth. And I only use the illustration of politicians and things like that because I know we all despise it when we see it up here, when people look out for themselves and they only serve themselves and they only line their own pockets. But their side of it is they're just looking out for them. And when we apply it to our lives, it's not near as bad. But I only use that example because it's something we can all look at and say, okay, I don't like it there. Maybe I ought to take a look at it here in my life. Because I'll leave off righteousness if I can benefit in some way in this world. I'll leave off righteousness. Just understand, God says to Israel, he says that the nation of Israel, who has the words of God, who has the promises of God, who has the blessings of God, who has all of that, he says to this nation, you need to seek me. You have all these things and you're not even looking for me. The problem is you think you're looking for me. The problem is you think I'm on your side and I'm not there anymore. All right, so he says, seek the Lord, ye shall live. Then he says this, verse 8, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. All right, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion. Talking about a creator. All right, so people will look to the stars for answers. And I imagine he's addressing some of that. People will look to the heavens, will shoot off rockets, will horoscopes, you know, whatever it is, astrology, people line up the stars, people try to figure out their lives by the stars. And the admonition is, you need to quit looking at the stars and start looking at the one who made the stars. The answer isn't in the moon dust, the answer is in the one who made the moon. The answer isn't in the rotation of the planets and maybe we'll shoot a rocket out here and figure out a little bit about our origins. You can figure out about your origins here. And he's about to say that. In fact, look at verse 10. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. So here's people looking at stars, spending I don't know how much money trying to find answers to life, looking out, spending billions of dollars, and then the guy with the Bible in the gate trying to get their attention, they hate that guy. And he's the guy that has the answer that they're looking for. But they don't like that answer. What you find out is they're not really looking for answers. People are looking to make a name for themselves. They're looking for their name to be imprinted on something. My discovery. I built this. I made this company. I did this. They're not looking for God. They're looking for their own name. So he says, it's a faithful search. We sit under the watchful eye of a God of order who put Orion in the sky and has kept it there for thousands of years. Amos is writing, 2,800 years ago, talking about Orion, the creator who set Orion in the sky. Did it thousands of years ago. And it's been doing the same thing. You know why? People can navigate according to the stars, or they used to could navigate according to the stars. It's because they're predictable. They would all go in the same place, in the same motion, the same time, the certain cycles. You figure out the cycle and you figure out how this thing works. He says, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion. He's a God who created light and darkness, an unchanging God who has set things in motion for thousands of years. And people look to that creation instead of looking to the Creator. The horoscopes, the astrologers, science falsely so called. And God is telling a people who believe God is on their side, he's saying, you need to seek me. Notice he's getting further back. First it was seek me. Then it was seek the Lord. Now it's just seek the Creator. You're getting further and further back now. You're not listening. You're getting further and further back. Faithful search. It's a faithful search. And then this, we'll skip ahead here. Verse 14. A good search. Now he's all the way back to this. Verse 14. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Seek good and not evil. Notice how that search is carried out. It's carried out by this, you seeking good and not evil. Talking to Israel. He says this in verse 15. Hate the evil, love the good. Establish judgment in the gate, that it may be that the Lord of God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Establish judgment in the gate. That's like put judgment right in the front. Put it at the gate where people walk in so they understand the rules, so they understand what's going on here. Don't hide judgment. Put it out front. Let it be known what it is. What's the judgment? What are we talking about here? Establish judgment in the gate. Make it clear. It's a good search. You could apply that to biology, the eye gate, the ear gate, the mouth gate, all those things. It's a good search. Hate the evil, love the good. All right, so if you're continuing to love the evil, if you're continuing to be fascinated by the evil, if you're continuing to be enjoying the evil, then just understand what you're not doing is you're not looking for God. Because you're not going to find him what you're looking for. place you were looking, he's not there. It's a good search. Do you want to find the Lord? Do you want to learn his works? Establish judgment in the gate. And then this, I'll give you the consequences real quick. Then he says this, verse 16. Notice the wailing wall. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all the streets. They shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. That's like the funeral directors, skillful of lamentation. You know what's going to be big business when God shows up? Unfortunately, death. Verse 17, and all the vineyards shall be wailing. Notice that wailing, 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 over and over again. You know, the Jews have over in Israel and Jerusalem a wall called the Wailing Wall. Interesting. And notice at the end of verse 17, and all vineyards shall be wailing. Why? For I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Wait a minute. I thought God was on our side. I thought God was with us. What a shock. There'll be death, there'll be wailing, all this stuff, not because God's going to leave, but because God's going to finally show up now. Whew, man. You thought he was here all the time. You kept claiming his name. You kept pretending you were playing the game with him. You kept pretending you were his people. You claimed all the promises. And he says, there'll be wailing and all this stuff, not because he's going to leave you, but because he's going to finally show up now. Man. Verse 18, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness, not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? That's 19, man. I mean, running from one thing, running into another, trying to find some rest, to get into a house and take a rest, and the snakes are in the house too. There's just no place to go. Why? God finally showed up now. And not that when he shows up it has to be bad. But if you continue living this way, when he shows up, it will be bad. But he said, look, seek me and live. Quit turning away from me. Quit going away from me. I've given you the blessings. I've given you promises as a nation. I've given you everything. I'm about to give you myself, and you keep turning away. Seek me and live. It's not that he's out to get you, but if you're not on his side when he returns, he will be out to get you. He is going to reconcile all accounts when he shows up, and if your account isn't square with him, he will reconcile that. The presence of God, he says, for I will pass through thee. Notice the day of the Lord. It's a dark day. There are so many references to the day of the Lord in the Old Testament. I'm not going to go through very many of them, or any of them, just to understand there's a lot of references to it. God warns them. Listen, you've been living in this imaginary world. You've been pretending. You've been stamping my name on things that my name's not on. And therefore, when I show up, it's going to be a dark day. Now look at this. I'm going to show you this in the New Testament. All of this has been directed toward a people, a nation, that God had poured himself into. And they had rebelled. And they had claimed all the promises. They had claimed they had the Bible, and they did. They claimed they had the promises, and they did. They claimed the blessings of God, which they had. And God's telling these people, you need to seek me because I'm coming back. And when I come back, I will reconcile these accounts. And if your account is not in line, if you continue to go to Bethel, if you continue to love evil, if you continue to worship the creature more than the Creator, if you continue to work unrighteousness, when I show up, things aren't going to be good. So his instruction is, seek me, seek the Lord. Now watch how he puts it to Gentiles. Look in Romans chapter 2. This is this is going to be something that would require more explanation, but I want to show it to you. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering? But those are all good things. The goodness of God, the forbearance, the long suffering. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So if you're going to head to the judgment of God, you're going to have to go through all of his goodness and all of his attempts to get you away from it. Now notice this, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Interesting. Now watch. 7. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing, notice what they do. What do? Seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Someone was looking. Someone's got to be looking for it. You know how you got to Jesus Christ, and if you're saved, you got saved because you were looking for those things. And then he says, verse 8, but unto them that are contentious, they're contentious how? Every time the truth shows up, they want to contend with it. They don't want to contend with anything else. But when the truth shows up, they want to contend with it. I'll use a simple illustration. People holding signs for car washes, but don't hold a sign with a Bible verse on it. You know what that is? That's contentious. People who contend. When the truth shows up, they contend. They fight against it. They don't mind anything else, but just when the truth, just contend a little bit with it. He says, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there's no respect of persons with God. That would require some explanation, because he just said he's going to render every man according to his works, and it's according to your works that you got to Jesus Christ. That's interesting. But notice he said in verse 7, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for these things. By continuance and patience and well-doing. You know what they kept? They kept along the same line. Somebody who's looking for righteousness, someone who's looking for correct judgment, someone who's looking for eternal life, he says. They're looking for glory. They're looking for an investment outside of this dead life. And he says they keep looking and they keep looking. Maybe they start going to church. They just start, I'm hearing preaching. It sounds right. I mean, I think it makes sense to me. They keep looking and looking. You know what he says? They're seeking. They're looking. People don't get saved just like that when you just show up and present the gospel. And they hear over time. And you find out who's looking. Who's looking. I mentioned this verse, these verses, because it has the word seek in it. And when God told the Israelites, you need to seek me, he defined what it meant by seeking him. And he defined what it meant by not seeking him. And in the New Testament, he treats the Gentiles with that same response. If you're not looking for me, you got to look for me. I'm not going to impose myself on you. I may even knock at your door once in a while, but I'm not going to enforce myself on your life. If you're not looking, you aren't going to be finding. And if you say you're looking, but you keep going to the places I'm not, you know what you're not doing? You're not looking. You keep going to the same places I'm not there. So here's the very simple instruction. Now you got an overview here of seeking the Lord, what it looks like to seek Him, what it looks like when people don't seek Him, what it looks like when God's people who rest on promises and blessings and the nation rests on having the Scriptures and they say, we've got all that so we're good. And then God shows up and says, you need to be looking for me. When I come back, I will reconcile this stuff. And I don't want you to be on the wrong side of it, but as of now, with all the blessings, with the Scriptures, with the promises as a nation, I'm not on your side. And when I come back, I will reconcile and it won't be good for the nation. It won't be good for you. So you've heard and hopefully understand, we understand how God defines people who look for Him. How God defines that. And so the very simple instruction is the same thing Amos said. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord.